All right, good evening, everyone. I was scared for a second. My webcam took a moment to load in OBS. Hopefully everything sounds okay, because we were having serious audio issues setting up. That's why we're kind of late. So just let me know if everyone
can
hear.
We've never been this late in our entire year and a half or 2 years we've been doing this.
It's all because I'm streaming.
Yes.
So is everything okay? Like, is my volume level okay? Is Corey's volume level okay? Is there any weird echo?
Yeah, we need to worry about drop frames or anything like that.
I'm not showing any drop frames in OBS. We need to get my stream set up a little more nailed down. That's the problem.
I don't know
where that echo issue was coming from, though. No echo. Well, that's good. I was having this issue where everything was feeding through my mixer continuously. It was making this severe echo, and the only thing that was supposed to be going through that line was Corey's Skype audio. And so I don't know how that happened. Corey's lagging. Well, we're not worried about that.
Yeah, that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking on OBS and it's like that. Yeah, that's just the way it is. Yeah. It's been 2 weeks since we streamed, sort of. I mean, we did a little stream while we were at Missouri Game Con.
Yeah, but not on our channel. That was on the Missouri Game Con's Twitch.
Yeah,
I want to say 45 minutes.
Yeah, we played Contra 3 very badly.
Yes, because we were playing inside the OBS window.
Yes, and I think it was streaming at 30 frames per second. So, but actually, you know, all things considered, I mean, we got to the second to last level, which was kind of better than I expected. But then I remembered we were playing on easy, so.
Yeah, still, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, if for some reason, even when we are off stream for a week, it never feels to me like it's actually been a week off. Like, it always feels like we just streamed last week.
I know. This last week has been a complete blur, I think. I mean, we didn't stream since releasing the soundtracks episode, even.
Yeah. And this week was just crazy busy work-related stuff this week, so I just... You know, I kind of wanted to spend some time getting my setup in order this week, but yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah. I'm just streaming. I'm Skyping in from my laptop just because I kind of felt like it. I just wanted to be a little bit more comfortable.
A little more relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Missouri Game Con, that was fun.
It was a lot of fun. The space it was in was really cool too. It was like in a like an arena.
Yeah. So I mean, they just kind of had tables set all around the perimeter of it. I think they it sounded like the organizers weren't sure if they were going to be there again next year, if it would be somewhere else. It was the first year in this location, because I think they were just in like a veterans hall or something like that last year, weren't they?
I think that's what it said, yeah.
Yeah, and they couldn't even get everyone inside all at one time. So and then this year they had plenty of space. But the problem was that the panels room was upstairs, and you, for some reason, I think they said like the day before the con opened, like the staff said that to open the stairs, they would have to have more, like the facility staff said, they'd have to have more security to have the stairs open to the second floor or the top floor.
I think the location was really cool.
Yeah. But then the panels room was, you had to take an elevator.
Like, panels room location and the kind of view you had was really cool.
Yeah,
but
it was
kind of
cool.
About to get up there.
Yeah, it was, you kind of, people had to kind of go up the elevator in waves. But yeah, it was a great con, really fun. I feel like, in general, like there were like a lot of games that were just kind of under the price that I'm used to seeing. Like, did you feel that? Like good prices.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you had some big, a big purchase, like, right out of the gate that you felt was a pretty good...
Right. I got Skies of Arcadia on Dreamcast for $60, which, like
$20 lower than it normally goes.
Yeah. I mean, and seeing stuff like that was not uncommon, where it's like, I'm pretty sure this is less than this normally goes for. Now, I did see some things that were kind of more typical pricing, or, you know, maybe raised a little bit for what people call con pricing. But in general, it was like really good prices. So, it was cool. We had some good grabs.
Yeah. I mean, I spent a little bit too much, I think.
Well, that's okay.
I ended up buying stuff that I had no plan going in to buy. Yeah. I don't even know really what happened.
Well, you didn't even bring any cash. I don't know what was up with that.
I wasn't really planning on buying anything, really. And, you know, like, generally, like, I'm fine with using PayPal anyways.
Yeah, I just like having the cash because, you know, it's a little easier to make a deal with cash, I think.
Yeah. But, I mean, this Darkwing Duck was, like, the last thing that you bought. Or, almost the last thing.
Last game I bought, I think.
It was between this and Psycho Fox.
Right. And I was kind of being, both were $55. Now this is like normal pricing for this game is $55 these days, unfortunately, which was, I almost bought it at Too Many Games, but I didn't. And, you know, unfortunately it's kind of becoming a little more expensive. And, you know, a few years ago it was like 30 or so. And I just kept playing off. I was not watching Disney Afternoon in the era that Darkwing Duck was on.
I didn't really either.
My era was DuckTales and Rescue Rangers. Like, that was when I was heavy into it. Never cared much for Tailspin. I'm sure I would love Darkwing Duck. I'm not that familiar with it, but I mean, I want this for a few reasons. I mean, one, you know, it's in the, you know, the DuckTales universe, and, you know, Launchpad is in, and you've got all those kind of connections. And two, just the Capcom Disney games were, like, so good in this era. Like, whether you're familiar with the series or not, like, you just cannot go wrong with, you know, that, you know, like, DuckTales onward, like, the Capcom Disney stuff is just gold.
Yeah, because, DuckTales was the first one after, like, because Mickey Mouse Capade is considered not very good.
No. And, you know, I think it was when Duke was on the stream, I played a little Mouse Capade. It was not as bad as I thought it was going to be, because I remember just not liking that game at all as a kid. I feel like I would not mind putting a little bit more time into Mouse Capade again, but I don't know if I want to own it again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is not considered particularly good. But, I mean, pretty much everything from, like, DuckTales onward is, like, considered super good. So I think I'm going to go ahead and get started here. And I actually, this is the high-def NES, by the way, that we're playing on here. I want to update this and get the Firebrand X color palette that's on the newest firmware. I don't have a flash cart, which you need to install firmware updates to the high def NES. But still a decent color palette is on here. And I also forgot my 8-bit Do controller over on the other side of the room, so let me get that.
I don't really have any experience with this game at all.
I've played a little bit. Oh, and here, let me. Unfortunately, the sound, if you hear any sound, it's just kind of going to be coming in over my mic. I realized kind of the last minute that I had no setup for getting the audio in here. So you can select three levels from the start. Quacker Jack.
Nick Anderson in the chat is saying, I can't play PlayStation 1 games on my PS2 with component cables. Menus get cut in half. Is it not supposed to switch? S-Video works fine. That's weird. So maybe you're...
I mean, could it be a weird manifestation of the the 240p compatibility issue?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's got to be. Like, it doesn't support 240p over component, which is, like, definitely, like, a thing.
That is a thing, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it, you know, S-Video and Composite see it fine. They just don't have it enabled on the components.
Yeah.
But it's weird that it's cutting it in half, so it makes me think that, like, 480i games is cutting it in half. Like, or does it do it for the entire game?
I've always heard this rumor. I don't know how much truth there is to this, but I've always heard this rumor that this game started off development as a Mega Man game.
Yeah, didn't we talk about that when we were in LA? We talked to somebody about
it. Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that's just like people being like, it really seems like a Mega Man game, or if there is actually information that suggests that.
Yeah. Maynard is asking if he should keep an eye out for anything using Pseudo Saturn. Not really. I heard that certain games are not compatible. One of them having issues is Panzer Dragoon Saga, but I guess you can get a version that's patched to work. I guess the only other major thing is apparently the action replays are known to stretch the pins in your cartridge slot.
Some of them might not be as bad as others, I believe.
Right. But that's revisions. But I think it's like all of them generally have some sort of are a little bit thicker. I think that's something we're gonna like try to address in the Saturn SD card episode. When we get to that. Okay, Gran Turismo game menu is fine. Start racing and video not displayed. It's definitely a 240p issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Does Gran Turismo have 480i menus?
Yeah, it seems like a kind of game that would.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that it does.
See, look right here. You've even got Sniper Joe right here. I don't know if does anyone know in the chat if there's any like sort of hidden control functions that might not be immediately obvious. Like if I hold up, he sort of moves his cape over his face. Like, I don't know if that's like a block technique.
Oh, or just
I guess
like,
I guess I could test it right here. Yeah, oh, it does block. That's cool. It probably doesn't block everything, but at least blocks these guys.
Maynard, the 1 megabyte and 1 megabit and 4 megabit options should still work. Probably.
Oops.
Game playing, you're a modding god. I don't know if either of us are modding gods. I think that we know modding gods.
Yeah, well, I don't know what people are talking about.
What?
It's someone I know. Someone from work. Snuck into the chat. No, we just know people.
Yeah.
We barely know what we're talking about. I think a lot of people mistake us as being a lot smarter than we actually are. We just talk to the people who know what they're doing.
Right. So my big purchases, should I go and get them?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
What, that wasn't a platform? Come on.
really, the stuff that I got is so stupid.
No, it's not, because the prices
it's like so, like, over the top.
The prices that you got them for, though, are unreal. That'll never happen again.
Right.
I'm having this a really hard time grabbing onto some of these hanging things.
I have to get a hit up or something.
I don't think you do. It seems automatic.
So I'm pretty excited about this. I got the Phantasy Star 3, the official hint book for it, because I am
kind of an unexpected thing.
Phantasy Star 3 episode. I don't know what's going to happen, but like next couple months for
you
sure.
You kind of felt like you needed that.
And I've wanted it for a long, long time, and I had been looking at it, looking for it on eBay for a long time, and it's usually about $50, and I got it for $35.
Okay, I think certain things you may have to hold up. I don't know, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. It's like a lot bigger than I always thought it was. You know, it's like compared to the
Phantasy
Star 2 hint book, which is just like fits in the palm of your hand pretty much. All right. But the first thing that I bought. I knew that I like wanted to get it. I just had been putting it off for a long, long time. With this.
Oh, there it is.
Shining Wisdom. One of the final two Working Designs games that I needed on the Saturn. It was in really good condition.
It was like the shiniest looking Saturn case I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, that's called Shining Wisdom.
I'm just used to seeing Saturn cases that look, you know, a little bit roughed up.
Yeah. And, you know, it was about $50 cheaper than I'd seen it for a lot of places. So I decided to get it. And that at that point, that was the most ever spent on a game.
At that point.
At that point. And then, you know, like, I didn't buy anything else for the rest of the day. And then, you know, I ran into somebody with a decently priced the other game that I was missing. And it turned out that him and I had, like, kind of knew a lot of the same people from, like, early, like, late 90s, early 2000s internet message board, which was, we, like, talked for, like, an hour. Like, Trey was just standing there, like, he eventually just kind of started talking to other people. But him and I, like, we were this guy Bob, who had it, was a vendor there, and I saw a game, the last game that I needed in my Working Designs Saturn collection. And I mean, I've been after like the Working Designs games that I'm missing for a long time, so I was just like, he gave me a really super good deal on it. He gave me $70 off of it, and it was already low. It was already $50, like, lower than it normally goes
for. Like, you bought it for, like, well under 100 of what he could have sold that for.
Right. And that was this.
Is that is the most expensive Working Designs game, is it not?
It might be now. Okay. And it is completely complete. It has like the foam and everything. He's like, oh, he'd never played it, I don't think. And even has like all the sticker stuff.
And there are a number of variants, disc variants. And that is like the
middle. This is the one with
the middle rarity one.
Yeah. As far as what I know. So after that, I was done.
Yeah.
I was really done. I was like eyeing this copy of the Dungeons and Dragons collection for the Saturn. And, you know, it was like $100. I really wanted it. And I was kind of looking at it. It's like that was a pretty good price.
I bought a lot of Sega stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what else did you get?
I got Golvelius. I got Golvellius for the Master System. I got Skies of Arcadia on Dreamcast. I got Code Veronica on Dreamcast, just because I've got this weird thing about having, like, multiple versions of Resident Evil games.
I'm after, too. I would love to have it. I'm kind of after that one, too. I have been for a little while. I've just been... I should have gotten it. It was, like, generally, like, $15, wasn't it?
$16 or so, yeah. You know, the... There, you do know that there's a Japanese Code Veronica X for Dreamcast.
I didn't.
I'm pretty sure I'm right on that.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I haven't really looked much into it, but I feel like that's what I've heard. Dang it, I'm doing bad.
I look it up. Oh, it was a fan release.
What?
It says, back in 2000, this is just from secondaries.com. Sega fan True Master One recently revealed that he had taken the Japanese version of Code Veronica X and released it for the Dreamcast.
How's that even possible? I mean, because that code was surely, like, optimized for, like, PS2.
I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
I mean, it had to have been, because, I mean, the PS2 is, like, such an unusual architecture that I don't see how you could just put a game out without optimizing that. Job well done!
This is a kind of a tough boss. It's taking you a while.
It took a lot of hits. I don't expect this game to be hard, but Wolf Duck goes berserk when the moon comes out.
Yeah, I was looking at that Dungeons & Dragons. You know, it has Power of Doom and Shadow over Mystara on it. And, you know, I have the Japanese import for the PS3. It has them, but I just felt like they look so much better in 240p. They do in that collection. So I kind of just want that version.
Something that was kind of on my mind to get, but I didn't see, unfortunately, was Dynamite Cop.
Yeah,
which I saw the Japanese version, but
you had an opportunity to buy a disc only of Die Hard Arcade.
It was like what? How much was it? Like $30?
But I think I almost had tried talking to spending to getting Cop the mail.
I don't know about almost.
I think if the price was right, you would have done it.
Well, sure. Except, I mean, I was already like, I mean, I couldn't even put anything more in my case. Like as soon as we got to the airport, I had to like put my headphones around my neck because I didn't have room in my backpack for my headphones anymore. You know, next time we do something like this, I think I'm going to
definitely take a suitcase.
Yeah, I mean, because I mean, it's not like I would have to check it, you know, unless we were on like Frontier again.
Well, you wouldn't have to check it, but you might have to check it.
Well, I'd bring a smaller backpack. Like, I could get away with bringing a smaller backpack that would be mostly for, like, you know, just, like, just putting games in.
Yeah. Oh, Leon X with Assault 2, Lanos 2. It's nowhere near as good as the first one.
That's the Saturn one, right?
It's cool. It's cool. But I found myself like slightly disappointed by it. But I haven't like played it too heavily.
I mean, I don't like
For the stuff that, you know, you get in Vulcan. Assault Suit Vulcan. There's an Assault Suit Vulcan 2 but it's like a strategy game for some stupid reason. I have it. I got it for $3. That's how unpopular it is.
This turtle guy's a little tough.
Oh, Time Crisis 5 was amazing.
Oh gosh, yes. We spent like $14 and we didn't finish it, but still,
we were like
at the end of the second to last level.
Yeah.
But that was like, it was $14 well spent.
Yes. And just to point on this huge thing, and like we had never really gotten the co-op like a light gun game either. And it was very cool being able to do that and also like experience the game for the first time. That was like,
gosh, like, I really wish they could release a home console version of that. I mean, it's not even like a complicated looking game. Like,
yeah. It's just talking people into like getting a gun con. But I guess you could get, you know, like
you could do it with the Switch Joy-Cons.
Yeah,
and it's definitely like.
But it would be weird to like not be on a Sony system because they all have been.
Yeah, but still, I mean, whatever made it work, you know.
Will we ever do a review on the HDMI Genesis console? Maybe. I mean, I would like to do like a clone console roundup type thing. Like that might be a lot of fun. But I'm not sure when it will happen. I have a couple of clone consoles that were sent to us by Gamers Tech. It's just a Genesis that uses, you know, just AV or just like composite stereo sound, and an HDMI NES, which I guess is only like $30. It's the emulation or the way it plays games is very messy, like the sound is just way off. But I mean, if it's $30, I think it's probably worth it for whoever's interested in it. Well, there's John Riggs, who we have to hang out with, and who is hopefully going to be joining us on a future live stream.
Indeed.
He just streamed Night Trap.
That was really cool meeting all those people from Seattle.
Yeah, it was so cool. I mean, that's one of the coolest parts about the convention, you know, getting to hang out with, like, being a guest. It's like so cool getting to hang out with like other guests, people that, whose work you are familiar with, look up to. We met a lot of like really great fans too. It was I think that we weren't quite expecting as many people to come and talk to us. We're sitting at this table when we ended up having. It was really cool. We signed two Framemeisters.
Yeah. And we only just signed our first Framemeister at Too Many Games, and we've like joked about that for a long time. But oh, I can shoot the boxes. Oh, this is easy.
There was one family that like try like to joke on me because I get really excited about when we have like parents that come in and talk to us and say that they watch the show with their kids.
I don't know if I like to joke on you, but it's you know, it's
it makes my day. You like the joke that it makes my day. Like it's like how I like to get, how I but get
it's
really
true. Into it. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really nice. You know, like they said, they watched the, and they hunted down, that family hunted down a Super Mario RPG based on you talking about.
On my recommendation. Yeah, I mean, that was, That was like the first RPG I really got into.
What do we think the fair price to sell my Framemeister at? I don't even know. I haven't been paying attention to the market at all, honestly, like unused ones.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like a used one would... I mean, it'd have to be, like, less than OSSC, I feel.
Yeah.
To justify. I mean, since my TV plays so nice with the OSSC, once I get a capture card that works well with it, I'm probably going to, you know, switch to primarily using the OSSC.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I've been capturing a lot of PS2 games for my next episode. I've been really enjoying playing them on a PVM. Just like how they look.
Yeah.
For some reason, on a 2005, they look fantastic.
Well, because everything looks fantastic on 20L5, but that's beside the point.
But I'm gonna try. Hopefully, that episode will be up Friday. It's gonna be tough.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to release it on Friday, but
yeah, I mean, I have 2 days. I have to like finish writing it tomorrow.
Oh, you started writing it?
In my head. In my head, I have a lot of. I don't think it's going to be that hard of a script to write.
Uh-huh.
I have a lot of stuff that I want to say, like, already like, ready to go. And then, you know, like, hopefully shoot on Tuesday and start editing on Tuesday. It's not going to be a complicated edit, but it's going to be the first in a series of probably 6 episodes that I'm going to be doing, and probably, like, fairly close to each other. Game-focused episodes. It involves Sega and the PlayStation 2.
So figure out what that means from that.
I guess I could do it. Or should I just say what it means? It probably doesn't really matter. I'm going to be doing like videos in every single volume of the Sega Ages 2500 games, which are... They were released between like 2003 and 2008 on the PS2. Only some of them were released in Japan, the Sega Classics Collection. And they started out as kind of bad, but like not all of them were that bad. And then ended up being like really, really good by
the end. Because like the later ones are M2, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, there's some really, really great compilations in there. But there's 33 of them. I had toyed with the idea of doing 3 episodes of 11 games each, but I've never covered that many games in an episode. There's just no way that I would have time to do that. So the first episode is going to be 7 games. Yeah, second episode is going to be 6 games. Third episode, 7 games. Fourth episode, 6 games, and the final episode is going to be 7.
But see, look at this area where the checkpoint was. This is like such a Mega Man checkpoint area.
No, SNES Mini. I thought somebody thought there's 150 games in the Sega Ages 25. But you know, I would have everything captured, but I really wanted to spend a lot of time playing the Phantasy Star Remake, and it's very apparent to me that I think I was pretty unfair to it when I talked about it briefly in the Phantasy Star episode I did like years ago.
See, for some reason I thought I remembered you said you liked it, but maybe not.
I think I said that I thought it looked like a Flash game.
It does. I mean, it's got a look to it, but I don't know if it's that bad.
But I feel like playing it on a CRT like enhances that look a lot.
Mm.
And I ended up playing like pretty far into it. I wanted to. I will probably beat it, like not in time to do the episode. But it's. I think it's pretty good. In fact, when I that night that I said that I was going to play with Wonder Boy, I ended up not.
I was wondering. I was surprised that you didn't. So.
I was going to capture some fancy stuff. I ended up just playing it all night.
Yeah, I played all of Dragon's Trap remake yesterday. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, you said you think that the developer, like their 2D artwork, is on par with Way Forward, even though it's a
very different style.
Yeah, but I was very surprised too. You know, and just like how like vivid it looks,
and the music is unbelievable.
Yeah,
there it's really cool. After you beat the game, there are these gallery segments that have like some behind the scenes like music recording, like live music recording.
That's cool to see that.
What's impressive is that the game is only like 1.4 gigs.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's super, super good. I actually honestly feel like I like the game a lot more. When I played Dragon's Curse, like it was after I played Wonder Boy and Monster World, and it was definitely a disappointment because I was like, oh, well, it's like that, but you've got all these like monster transformations and that's really cool. And like on paper, it sounds like it should be the better game. I don't think it is, but.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it would be. But no, but, I mean, it's a good game.
But I think the most annoying thing is like the game doesn't give you any information on how to get into the final dungeon, and you need like a particular sword to do that.
Yeah. It's surprising it's like not long.
Huh?
It's surprising a Dragon's Trap is like not that long.
Oh no, it's like it took me more than 3 hours, but it took me less than four, but more than three. Like it probably would have taken less than 3 hours if I didn't spend some time a little unsure where to go.
Yeah. But I would have played it. I would have beat it by now. I just but it happened. Yeah. I've been waiting for so long. But also, you know, when you know you have to do an episode, it's like hard to like get in.
It definitely can be, yeah.
I mean, it's not hard, but it's just like, you know, you're going to put yourself into a position of having a hard time later. So next week, like, hopefully if I finish it by Friday, it'll be done. If not, it'll probably be like early in the week following that. So it will be like, because my brother is coming to visit on Thursday evening. He gets here and he stays until Monday, so he'll be joining us for the stream next week again.
Oh, cool! Particular plans?
No, not yet.
So I just beat a little bit before the stream. I was playing. Oh, we've got new levels now. Something strange is going on in the woods. Maybe the work of Bushroot. I played the original Spyro. Oh, look at this wood level. This looks good.
Did you beat it?
Yeah, I beat it.
Really?
I thought it was pretty good.
That game has a pretty large follow. Or that trilogy.
Yeah.
Are you going to get the rest? We have all three of them.
No, I just got the first.
But you definitely get the rest?
I do want to get the rest. Well, you know, honestly, I didn't have that much interest in the series until I tried, I I briefly tried the PS, you know, they were free on PS Plus. I was, like, just really surprised by how well they seemed to hold up. Because, like, I was, you know, in that era, I was mostly playing action games on N64 and RPGs on PlayStation. And, like, I guess I've kind of got this image in my mind of, like, you know, action games of, on PlayStation being a little rougher, you know. At least that's my imagination. Not fair at all, but you know, that's just kind of this notion that's a little hard for me to shake. And right. But yeah, like I was like, wow, this like plays really well. And what surprises me is that even from the first game, I forget what year it released, but they were DualShock compatible. Like from the first one.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know what's so frustrating though is that when you play like a DualShock game on PS1 and the right stick doesn't do anything. Like, you know, you still gotta move the camera with R and L.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got used to it pretty quick. But still, it's just, you know, it's just kind of disappointing. It feels like, you know, they should have figured that out pretty early on.
Yeah.
But I wonder, I don't know if the other games might do that. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about getting to the rest of those. It took me a while to find the first one though, because like it seems like it's always a greatest hits, and I can't do greatest hits PS1.
I should see what I have. I mean, I think I have at least a was Crypto Rage this and here at the bank.
You were breaking up there. What?
The second one is like Crypto's Rage.
Yeah.
Year of the Dragon, I think.
Yeah.
Let's see what. Oh, we didn't talk about if anybody in the chat bought our Night Blu-ray.
You're breaking up a lot.
Am I really?
Yeah. I mean, I was able to understand that you were asking if anyone bought the Night Trap Blu-ray, but...
Okay, well, maybe I was too far away. Does that sound better?
Yeah, I can hear you fine now.
But if anybody bought the Night Trap Blu-ray through Limited Run, thank you.
Yeah. It's
crazy that they sold out. We were not.
It took a day or two, but it's still like.
Yeah, it was like the entire weekend. It happened like at the very, like Sunday evening. It happened, I think.
But it's still like so crazy. Like I mean, it's like 1,000 Blu-rays selling. Like that's awesome. I don't think though we could have sold 1,000 just like. On our own, like, you know, reaching out to their expanded audience, you know, was definitely
and, you know,
what made it possible.
There for the game, like, to buy the game. I think that it took a little bit of time to sell out because I think the people that were interested in it didn't want to risk trying to put it in their cart.
Yeah.
On a time that they had when the game went on sale. Oh, Leanne X just got a Wii Mini, something that we're going to have to be after and pretty soon. Luckily, they don't seem to be too pricey.
Nah.
So thanks for that, Karn. It's always so exciting to hear people are still watching and enjoying it. It's pretty crazy because, you know, like, I feel like the video didn't do like super great, but I think that it's been slowly kind of ramping up.
It's past Saturn.
Yeah, it passed the Saturn RGB episode.
Like, I mean, it more than anything though, it's just like the response to the video, more so than the views, that's just been beyond anything I expected.
Right.
kind of like the first boss.
Vapor Shape, we met on a website called The Backlogger. Tri is one of the co-founders of that site. They game tracking and, you know, tracking whether or not you finish a game or beat it or complete it or whatever. We both, like, worked in production and, like, we became friends. Both a have to set up. Suddenly we,
then we may have a YouTube channel after making this FrameMeister capture setup.
Right. Tony Morrow, the Night Trap has not surpassed the N64 anti-aliasing hack video.
That's like our wildest dream.
It has about 230,000 more views to go. I would love for that to be the case.
Well, the Game Boy episode and PlayStation 1 episodes did pass that recently, very recently, in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. And Game Boy, in both of those episodes, they're on track to pass 300,000 views, which is
super crazy.
And speaking of numbers, like, we passed 70,000 subscribers. 70,000.
Yeah.
And when the anti-aliasing hack video came out, we had just passed, we're almost at 20.
Yeah. That is crazy. You know, it is not impossible that we could hit 100,000 this year, but it would take something pretty crazy happening.
Yeah. I was hoping the Night Trap would be that crazy thing happening. It didn't happen.
Yeah, more likely at this point it's going to be either the PS2 RGB episode, PS2 RGB episode, 4K TV episode. I think those are going to be pretty big. Hopefully we'll have another documentary by the end of the year.
Yeah, it's hard to say if that's going to be, but if it came together, the one that we really want to do, that came together, like, before the end of the year,
it would make what?
It would make my life.
Well, it'd make the year at the very least.
Yeah, I think that the Night Trap, like, it has kind of, like, snowballed slowly as the word has kind of spread.
It has not,
you never know.
It has not dropped off as quickly as most episodes do.
Right. I mean, it'll be interesting because now that the game is out, it makes you wonder if, like, the hype will still be there for it. But you never know. I mean, it might make more people more
interested. Yeah.
Or people that are getting the game, you know, we have a bonus feature that's in there. The interview that's in the documentary cut down to about 20 minutes. And it's like a bonus feature in the game.
I'm doing bad.
And hopefully we'll see that and be like, oh, is our, like, a link to our channel is at the very, very end of it. So we'll see if that helps them. I guess it's okay if it's not getting out and everything.
You're breaking up like crazy.
Am I really?
Yeah.
Even now?
Not now, but you were.
I guess if it gets a little bit, the computer gets a little far away from me, I guess maybe it breaks up. So we almost, I mean, it was in there and had to be removed. We had a trophy named after us.
Yeah, it was just called My Life in Gaming.
Yeah, for watching the little bit that we put in there. But apparently Sony made Tyler take it out because it was like...
You can't have someone watch something for a trophy.
Right.
Which seems weird, because I feel like that's not that weird of a concept. I feel like I've maybe even seen that, but...
Yeah, I feel like I have, too. Have you ever thought about doing a pal-centric video? I mean, that would be cool. I would like to, but it'd be very challenging.
Yeah, I mean, I have been borrowing for a while a pal... I thought you could grab onto the bomb of that. Oh, well, it didn't really matter. I was on my last life. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I just feel like we're not even really qualified to talk about that, you know? It's like, I feel like you almost need the full context of growing up with it. And also, like, we can show it on, like, a PVM, but we, like... I feel like something would be missing without being able to show it on consumer CRT.
Right. You mean growing up with, like, native RGB and like that?
And growing up with, you know, the...
50 Hertz.
Yeah, the PAL 50 Hertz. Like, I just feel like we're... I mean, it would be an interesting thing to research, but I... And certainly we can talk to a lot of people who could give us great information, but I would be nervous about it.
Yeah. Yeah, Guitar Hero has a trophy for watching the full credits twice. I don't know. All I know is that it was in there, and it had to be removed, which is a bummer.
There was a cool the credits in Dragon's Trap were pretty neat.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you want me to tell you anything about them.
Well, I mean, as soon as I finish this upcoming episode, I'll play that first thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that could, you know, some of the images that were in it could actually be, you know, like cool, like, reference material. There were some pictures in it that I thought was like, oh, like, that's a fun idea.
Seeing if our panel is anywhere on YouTube, our panel from Missouri Game. We briefly saw the Nintendo PlayStation.
Oh yeah.
Didn't touch it or anything. We just like, oh, there it is.
So you picked up the controller and played some Street Fighter.
That's true. I did. But I mean, for the most part, it's kind of like, oh.
There it is.
We're like, oh, we were just like, is it a one chip or is it?
I'm pretty sure someone like, I feel like someone tweeted at us that, you know, that they like looked at and were like, oh, it's definitely not one chip quality.
Yeah.
These big birds make me think of the Goonies from Yoshi's Island, the fat Goonies. All right, got to the boss in a pretty good situation. I don't think I can get on the top, though. I don't think the boss himself actually can throw anything, so that's good.
Our panel is not up yet. Are you close to the end of the game?
Of the game?
Yeah.
I think I'm like halfway-ish, cause like I beat three levels and then three more opened up.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I just beat my fourth level. So I'm guessing there's going to be like six levels and then like a last level or a series of last levels.
Yeah.
Megavolt.
Nelson W, we don't stream with scan lines because it looks really bad.
Yeah, because the way that it scales, like, depending on how YouTube is scaled on your TV, you know, the scan lines are going to be uneven, or depending on the resolution we're streaming at, like, they don't... Games are not well represented with scan lines on web video, in my opinion. Like, you gotta zoom way in for them to look good. Speaking of, though, Dragon's Trap remake has like super cool looking scan lines.
I thought they were all right.
Well, did you check it? Did you turn on like the CRT mode? I've had
a Mega Man Legacy Collection too.
Oh gosh. Okay. So if anyone has,
not that the collection is bad.
Oh no. It seems to be fine. I'm disappointed that there's no like proper integer scale option for 9 and 10, but it still like looks a heck of a lot better than the last gen versions. But yeah, I mean it's certainly worth having, but like I'm just so baffled by the scan lines option because they like flicker. Like, first of all, they're so thin you can barely see them. And second of all, they just do this like sort of little color shift that's not very authentic, but I mean that's kind of whatever. The main thing is it's like 480i style, like the scan lines like jump up and down. It's so stupid. Like, I just don't understand like how that happened.
Yeah, I still think that the scan lines in Wild Gun Reloaded are like
probably
the
best. Really good.
Those are probably the best, like,
what happened?
Fake scan lines I've seen.
I don't know. I thought the Wonder Boy looked better. I didn't look that much at the scan lines without the CRT filter, though. Did you try the actual CRT filter on Wonder Boy?
Yeah.
I thought it looked really good.
Well,
and there's, like, a gamma correction option. I thought it looked great. I mean, I mostly played with the new art, which is, like, unbelievable, but...
Yeah.
But, you know, you can just hit R2 and just look at any time. So, you know, I looked at the scenes and be like, oh, what'd this look like? You know, how exactly similar are Dragon's Trap and Dragon's Curse? Because it was like a lot... Like, there was just like so much stuff that I just didn't remember at all. Like, the bosses were just, like, a lot more elaborate than I remember from Dragon's Curse.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time since I played it. Do you have Wonder Boy 3?
That's not the shmup.
No. I'm talking about the Master System version of Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap.
Oh, no. I don't have it.
What's interesting
is... I've seen you stream it, but...
No, I don't think I streamed that. I never streamed that one.
I thought you did. I was pretty sure that was the one you streamed.
It's 30 frames per second.
Oh, that's interesting, you know, because I thought it actually looked a little sort of... When I switched to the retro mode, I thought the scrolling didn't look super smooth. So I was actually kind of wondering that.
I mean, this version, the new version, when playing in retro mode, runs at 60.
Oh, really? Well, see,
the Master System version, like, actually runs at 30.
But for some reason, I actually did think, like, is that... I don't know, I thought the scrolling... I mean, maybe I was just thinking too hard about it, but I did think, like, the retro mode scrolling didn't look as smooth as I thought it would, but...
Yeah. Adam Lloyd, he's actually using a high-def NES for this, because your RGB-modded NES is getting something done to it.
Yeah. Voltar is
getting a tune-up.
Yeah, Voltar is doing a little work on that and my Famicom and my NES. Oh gosh, And my SNES Mini. This game's a little harder than I thought it was going to be.
Thanks for those nice words, Jerry Ryan. We will we'll keep doing what we do.
That's the plan.
As long as we can. Not the NT Mini this time. He has it hooked up, but I think that just like you've been playing with your high def net for a little, like just.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if I'm going to be playing
your,
what playing
on your TV,
I if I'm going to be playing a cartridge, like I want to use the high def NES over the NT Mini. But you know, I would definitely for like, you know, if I need to check something out that you know, using the jailbreak firmware, you know, is, you know, the NT Mini is almost kind of like a multi-system EverDrive for me, like a convenience thing for checking out systems that I might, you know, not have as easy access to.
Right.
This,
we're going to be doing an episode on the Rhea and the Phoebe. I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but it's going to be fairly soonish. It's not going to be like a long episode. There's not like a ton to talk about on it. I'm just going to show you how it works and the benefits of it. You are using your 4K TV.
Yep. This is my last life, so I'm going to kill myself. You know what's interesting is here. Let me bring up the high def menu. What's interesting? See, I've got the resolution at 1080p. Of course, unfortunately, the stream is only 720p because my computer just can't quite stream 1080 60. But then horizontal stretch, I've got 5x. And the 1080p height is 4x, which, you know, for some reason when I play the high def NES on a 1080p TV, like, I don't know, like, it looks, the aspect ratio looks wrong to me. But for some reason, like, the 4x and 5x, like, it looks too fat. But I don't know, maybe it's just because my 4K TV is bigger, but, like, I don't know what it is, but I just, like, I like the high def NES playing on this thing a lot more than I ever did on a 1080p TV.
Funny how it works out.
Huh?
It's always something.
I couldn't quite. Yeah, I think you're drifting further from your mic again.
I have to keep it real close to me, I guess. It's always something. Maybe it'll be better if I go in the other room. Maybe it's the because of my air conditioning.
Oh, it's trying to do some, like, noise cancellation or something?
Yeah. Good thing is, since I'm on the laptop. Did, like, a reorganizing of all my games a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah?
Freed up a whole bunch more room. Too bad, like, the light shining poorly on the map.
Whatever.
It's typical. The game's behind me, right there. Something that we're trying to, we're going to be getting away from.
Yeah, I mean,
I think we kind of are away from it now.
I felt like kind of weird that I just, like, did the, you know, game shelf behind me thing in the soundtracks episode, but I tried to shoot it with, like, just my soundtracks, like, sitting on a table upstairs, but I just could not get a good shot with it, and so I was like, well, I guess I'm just gonna, you know, do it. I'm actually thinking about going to IKEA and getting a second one of those shelves and putting on the other side of the door. I think I'll look, like, really awesome.
Oh, like the really big one?
That tall, well, it's very narrow, but it's tall.
Oh, you're talking about the soundtrack one.
Yeah, the soundtrack shelf. Got it. Yeah, my main game shelf is not IKEA. I got from a website called racksandstands.com. Probably like 12 years ago. I got in the summer of 2005. Whoa. I'm looking at the webcam. That looks
very... Power in fear as I demonstrate my true power.
You know, I have never played that game, but for some reason the way that you said that just sounds like a Working Designs voice, so I'm going to say you nailed it. you had a very Working Designs tone.
Yeah. Let's see if I have anything else like that. I got these at New York Comic Con. These Super Mario 3D World cat ears. I have two of them. I gave the other ones to my daughter.
Was it only Luigi ears or were there others?
No, my daughters I think are peaches, are pink. But I went after the green ones specifically. I have one of these, you have one of these, don't you? The Kirby 20th anniversary medallion.
Oh, yeah. Mine's not in the thing, though. I like just have it, like, sitting around.
Yeah. I was, like, talking about my Street Fighter 2 mugs. I got these Street Fighter 2 Pogs at the Consumer Electronics Show in 1993.
Hmm. Moliarty. Someone was asking, do you alphabetize by system type? I'm not sure if he means, like, alphabetize within system. Is there an order to which
there,
system?
There was maybe at a point, but now it's just however I can get it to, like, fit with the most room.
Mm-hmm. I've got console games on one shelf, handheld games on another, and they are chronological by, like, each system is alphabetized, but the system order on my shelf is chronological.
Have I ever shown you this? My Skies of Arcadia Limited Edition, or Eternal Arcadia Limited Edition.
Oh, it's Japanese. I knew you had something, but I didn't. For some reason, I didn't know it was the Japanese version.
I bought this at the same time I bought the soundtrack.
Oh.
You know, I have a spine card for that.
You do? You did get one comment of someone being happy about you having the spine card and bragging about it.
This is cool. You know, if we ever do a video on it, though, I mean, look at this art book it comes with. Lots of things to scan in this.
Oh.
It's huge character portraits.
You know, there was something else I got at Missouri Game Con. was Resident Evil Deadly Silence, and there's some interesting artwork that
it was skipped.
It was that was a freebie from a very generous vendor, that was actually kind of funny because when we first walked up to his table, he was just like, "Oh," and he like picked up his phone that had been like propped up in front of him, and he was like in the middle of watching the soundtracks episode while we walked up to his table.
RPG with Saturn. Gosh, I haven't really played many.
RPGs on the Saturn?
Yeah, I was asking about. He wants to buy an RPG on the Saturn.
Magic Knight, Ray Earth is... I mean, it's an action RPG, I guess.
Yeah. Dragon Force is good. But it's cool, you know, like, now that I have it, I sent you a photo. It had, like, the complete Saturn Times games.
Yeah.
Along with all the Sega CD. So here's the first Spyro. Let's see if I have any other ones. Oh. So I have a greatest hits first Spyro. You know what I do have? I have all three Siphon games.
All three what?
All three Siphon Filter games.
Oh boy. Now that's something that I'm pretty sure has not aged very well.
Yeah, but you know, the first one is worth playing because of the taser.
I think you've said something about this before. Now, have you actually played
it? You just tase somebody and you just like keep the taser on them for a long time and they'll catch on fire.
Now, have you actually played any of the Spyro games?
I have. I have Prince 009. I have Ease Book 1 and 2. Although the vendor I bought Magic Knight Ray Earth from had a Ease 3 that I really wanted, but...
You were telling me I should get an Ease 3, but...
Yeah, I really want Ease 3.
I mean, honestly, I don't... Like, I would consider getting one of the Ease 3 versions someday, other than, like, I've got the PSP one, and I feel like that's, like, all I'm really interested in having.
Yeah.
Like, if there was ever, like, a PS4 port or something of that, I would definitely want that, you know, because I believe it's built on the same engine as Ease Origin, so I don't see why not.
Aaron Welsh, I have played Papa Mail. I have it right here. I actually did a video on it.
Yeah, it was a pretty early, it was probably the first year of my life in gaming, I would guess.
Yeah. Very good game. The rebalance difficulty is a little obnoxious, but other than that, it's very, very good.
Rebalance difficulty of what?
In Papa Mail. They made it. In the U.S.
version. The U.S. version's harder?
Yeah. Something I never realized until it was, like, when I played it. That video. I was like, wow, it's... Like, why even have, a full life bar when, like, four hits kill you? Why have a bar that goes from 0 to 100 when four hits kill you? Lunar is on the Saturn, but it's Japan only.
Is the Saturn version or the PlayStation version considered better of that?
I feel like the PlayStation version is considered better, but I don't know. I don't really know too much about, you know.
I mean, more people have played it.
Right.
You know, something I either didn't know or forgot is that there are Tailspin and Darkwing Duck games on the TurboGrafx, and I saw them at Too Many Games. I don't know if they're Capcom games.
No, they're not. I guess the Darkwing Duck is pretty bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What about Tailspin? Who even made them?
There's also a Tailspin on the Genesis that you gave me.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah! I remember trying that. It was... I remember it being kind of awful. I forgot about that.
Aaron Welsh is asking what the best Suikoden game is, but Jimmy Hoff is in the chat, and I think that's a way better question for him.
I want to replay the first. I think I would like the first now a lot more than I did when I first played it. And not that I didn't like it, but... I feel like I would just appreciate it more now than I did at the time. I really liked too. I played that last, or was it two summers ago?
Not very long ago. That's when you last played it. It was two summers ago?
Or maybe it was last summer. Was it last summer?
You played the first one?
No, the second one. No, I want to say it was like before college that I played the first. Oh, I think I can lure him down to like repair a machine. Oh.
Oh, that helped. All curious looking now.
Okay, that made it a lot easier.
It's like I'm in the chat.
Ever played Legend of Legai? You know, that's a game that I wish I liked, but a friend got it, and I remember thinking it looked so cool. Like, I loved like the idea of like piecing together like the combos, but I got it years later, and I could not get into it.
Yeah, I couldn't do it either. Although I did recently get a copy of it for like $10.
It's a very interesting battle concept. It looks interesting at least.
I feel like that's when a lot of RPGs started to get like bogged down in having a new system.
Yeah. At the time, I was way into that. It was always like, oh man, what new system is this? This one gonna come up with, but it was definitely like in retrospect, it's kind of like, man, I just want to play a plain old RPG, you know?
Yeah.
You know, this year I've like found it real. I mean, when I've had time, that is, I found it like really easy to get into RPGs this year for some reason.
Lucky, and I feel like I want to like really get into RPGs lately, but once I kind of am faced with the opportunity to do it, I either don't get as fully into it as I'd like to, or I just kind of want to play some games that I can finish in like 10 or less hours.
Yeah, but like I'm just like, when I have played RPGs this year, like I've just really enjoyed it. The rare chance I might have to actually play one.
So you tried to pre-order an Xbox One X earlier and missed it?
I missed the Amazon one. Like, I was at work at the time, and I just wasn't really paying attention to the internet, and I missed it by, like, about 2 hours. Well, I don't know how long it lasted, but then I got one on Best Buy, which seems to be release date delivery. Unfortunately, they wouldn't do it for in-store pickup, which is what I did for the Switch, and I wish I could do that. I mean, I'd prefer to have Amazon because I get more rewards points using Amazon, but like, I feel like it's kind of important for me to get that day one because I've got this ambition to do a episode about 4K TVs, and like, I want to have it like basically ready when the Xbox One X comes out, but I can't like release it without having stuff about the Xbox One X in there and some B-roll and stuff.
Right.
So I want to like have it almost ready, but then like I can get ready maybe within a few days of the Xbox One X coming out.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
I'm going to want to pre-order a Super NES Classic, too.
Yeah, do we know when that's happening?
Wolf in the chat, Carbuncle, is saying that it's supposed to happen this, like, sometime this coming week, maybe.
I mean, I really only care because, like, of Star Fox 2.
Yeah, and I mean, we know that people are going to be like, oh, you know, you're going to do a video on it. And I'd like to. I definitely like to. It depends on whether or not we can get it.
Yeah.
I'd like to, like, have an early look at it, but that's, I guess, the cards. It's hard to say, like, how I feel like Nintendo maybe wasn't happy with our NES Classic video.
That's, I mean, who knows if they even saw it? I don't know.
Right. I mean, we were kind of in talks with trying to become like a Nintendo ambassador, so we could get like.
I think we submitted something, but I don't think we ever got.
We submitted stuff, but I mean, it was submitted to an actual person.
Ah.
It wasn't like through a. Through a form or anything. But we never heard back.
I mean, I think people with less subs than us may have gotten one. Well, maybe less subs at the time. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to look at it before and break it down. What do you think about Brave Fencer Musashi?
I love Brave Fencer Musashi. I've only played it one time, though. I would, I want to say it was the week I got my driver's license that I was playing that game. I would love to replay it. I remember it just being really fun. Like, it's like kind of like a 3D Kirby action game, except you're a little sword dude with, you know, instead of stealing enemies' powers. And one thing I really liked about it was that I really got a soft spot for like RPGs or action RPGs that like take place around like a single town. Like, I feel like it like kind of gives you a chance just to kind of learn the town and the townsfolk and stuff like that, you know? Like, it feels more more intimate, if I don't know if that's the word, but you know, it just sort of feels like, I don't know, more of a personal story, I guess, in a way.
Yeah. Dan in the chat, just Dan, said, "Hi, I'm a newcomer, and I want to say you guys are flipping awesome.
Thanks for helping
with people getting the best picture out of retro consoles. Thanks so much." Well, thank you. There is a really, really nice comment on the soundtrack video saying that, what was it? It's like a really, really mean comment. I can't remember what it said.
Wait, you're saying there was a nice comment in reply mean comment?
I was being.
Oh.
I was saying that. I was exaggerating. He said, like, I don't think that Corey could be any more fat or ugly. I mean, just like put it out there, like when we recorded that, you know, like I've been struggling a little bit with my weight. I'm not gonna lie. It's just because of having both kids home and like all summer. And I think that is really done a lot for as much as I've been active. But I think ever since like we shot that episode. And I saw myself in that recorded footage. I was like, oh man, this is what's happening. So I know what I need to do. I mean, I've certainly done it before. But it's, you know, it's always it's a little tough. I was like, oh man, it's like I gotta see myself in this episode now.
This is tough. This guy like sends out these pods like way too quickly.
But I mean, I'm very happy like when I'm healthy. That's the thing. It's just been way tougher to, you know, get to the gym as often as I have before. And just like having both kids home, you know, like we go out and we go on walks and stuff, but it's just been much more difficult. But I mean, like it's only really been a problem, I want to say, since, I mean, I felt like it's only been a problem since, I don't know, maybe like March or so, when like I started just like not being as active as I'd like. But I'm getting it back. And you know, it's hard to have two kids and get to the gym as often as you'd like and make videos.
Yeah.
Work. It's tough. But I feel like I've made significant headway since that episode was shot, which was June.
Yeah, it was the end of June. It was the day before Too Many Games.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I realize like I can. It's just it's tough with two kids at home to do it. You know, like I mean, I successfully completed you know, P90X like two times in a row and stuff like that. But that's a little bit right before I had before we even had our first kid. You know, I was the best shape of my life at that point. But yes, I can. It's very difficult to do a lot of that stuff, like when they're both around you, and anytime you try to like do any exercise and they're like climbing on you, and like, you know, like if I try to do a push up, like my son jumped on my back and he's like, get on the train!
Someone in our Patreon chat made a fantastic those aren't real GIF.
Yeah. Steve Rule, I've definitely done that, especially like with my daughter. Like she was very easy to like, and she thinks it's really fun to bench press. It's just, you know, like now that my daughter has started kindergarten the last week, so I'll definitely, as soon as this next episode is done, I can get myself into a good groove with stuff. I feel like keeping on this level for a really long time.
This is my second time through it, really. I know this is the last level because I've seen someone fight the last boss before.
Oh, okay.
So this is definitely the last level.
Have I ever thought about you know, having my kids in the video. I mean, my daughter was in the Mickey Mouse episode. I think that I don't want to, like, shoehorn them in if it doesn't make sense.
You had her in the in RGB 102, which that made a lot of sense because you were explaining, like, how you had your stuff set up to keep it out of her reach.
Right. At the old house that we were renting. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like, I'd like to have them in there more if I can find a way to fit them in. I don't want to, like, have it, you know, just have them in there for no reason. Super J-Man, that is absolutely true. I mean, I, like, that's the thing. You just gotta turn off your brain and do it. You know, I mean, like, there was a point where I was, like, around 280 pounds, and then got down to 180 at my lowest. My kids do not like retro games. I mean, as far as I know, I mean, I don't think they're old enough. They're 2 and 5, so they're not, like, an age where they really care that much. I mean, my daughter, like, has a 2DS and likes to play it, but, I mean, it's just a Barbie game.
Okay, I need to figure out what the... Is there any way, like... Can I select, like, a different weapon? I thought I might have, like, different weapons. I just wanted to see what they do. Maybe you can only hold one other type at a time?
Yeah, I see it. There's a comment back that says, cut sugar, flour from everything helps a lot. Definitely, definitely. My problem is, I think that... when it comes to, like, with kids, like, they never, like, eat all their food. It's like, I'm just going to, like, throw this away. So, like, I end up, like, picking at it a little bit. Like, beyond what I should really have.
Yeah, I just, like, have to fight these things off for a bit.
Did you order the physical copy? Oh, speaking of physical copies, really quick, I don't know if it's still available. There was that the Guacamelee.
Yeah, I did order that.
But I wonder if they're still for sale. I'm gonna check. Mine's gonna be here, like, tomorrow. Yeah, they're still available. If anybody doesn't know or didn't see our tweet about it, B-Blank Entertainment, the people that made Retro City Rampage, did a limited physical version of Guacamelee Super Turbo Championship Edition, and it's available. Still, there's only 3,800 copies made, and you can buy it from here, and it will, like, ship immediately.
Does anyone have any tips for this boss? Because I'm pretty stumped. He drops these things, and I can't get up to where I could shoot, like, at his shield, because, like, they just, like, stay on your butt.
It says, hang on the left hook and shoot the little ones in the top one. That's what a
Telly Monster. Where?
Telly Monster is saying you have to kill the little ones.
Oh,
then
hang on the left hook and shoot the little ones. Ah. That makes some sense. If I can ever actually get to the left hook.
Digital Poseidon is selling a ton of PS4 collector's editions if you guys want to have a peek. We're not super big on, like, collectors, like the CEs and stuff like that, unless they... I think the big thing is, like, if they come with a soundtrack. That's, like, the main thing that makes us consider it. But I don't, like, really have a lot of room for big boxes, and I don't really care about the big boxes anymore. Yeah, I've heard that some people are saying that, you know, like the shipping, like international, is like $22.
Oh, on the Guacamelee?
Yeah.
Who did that?
V-Blank.
Well, what else have they done? Oh, did I do it?
Retro City Rampage. That guy, Rooster?
Yeah, he's got a metal beak. You foiled my plans this time, Darkwing. But the next time we meet, I shall be victorious.
Is that the end of the game?
Yeah, I guess so. Look at that, look at this monitor that this old chicken guy is on. Kind of into this monitor. All right. Whew, that feels good. I've beaten four games this weekend. Like I felt like I like really needed to like kick back this weekend because this past week at work was just nuts. I just had no time. I was like basically doing work from the time I woke up to the time I went to bed. But I finished Oceanhorn, which I played like probably just over half of on the trip to Missouri. So I finished that on Saturday morning. And then after that, my Wonder Boy Dragon Strap came. And I played through all that. Like, that was like 3.5 hours. And then I started, like late last night, I started Spyro. And I played most of the rest of it this morning, and I had to go work for a while, and I finished it like the last hour before the stream, and I just did this. So I beat four games this weekend. Feels good. I need it. Do you think you might play the Uncharted Lost Legacy when it comes next week?
Holy cow. I you know, like, I want to get it.
Oh, you don't even have it pre-ordered?
No, I want to, but I like. I think I can wait on it, and I think that I can get it for wait for it's like to yeah, be like.
That's true. I mean, you know, the whole thing about the Amazon 2 week thing going away. Like, it's only for pre-orders now. Like,
that's a big.
Yeah, I mean, now I feel like definitely like a lot of things I might put off for a couple of weeks, like I should get right away. I mean, some things will go down in price, but I do want to play Uncharted, like, you know, without waiting a long time. So I've got pre-order. But like for Nintendo games, like, you basically got to buy them at launch now because Nintendo games don't go down in price like pretty much ever. So if you're going to get a Nintendo game, you may as well pre-order it now.
Yeah. That's going to kill your backlog.
It might.
Adventure Island next week. Probably not next week, but I think that you were the one that asked if we'd play that on our stream when we were at Missouri Game Con. So I think that, what is it, which it's Super Adventure Island 2.
Oh, Super Adventure Island 2. I would like to stream that, but I kind of wanted to record it just to have on hand, though. I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to streaming it.
I mean, once you play through it once, then you might be able to...
to capture it pretty quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I would not mind getting a start on it, or maybe I could... because I looked it up on how long to beat, and I think it was like 8 hours, maybe. So I could...
Huh? Significant.
Huh?
That's pretty significant.
Well, it's like, I mean, it's kind of a Monster World style of game.
Yeah.
Have you done anything special with your Dragon's Trap special edition box?
I ripped the CD and it's just like sitting next to my Fire Emblem Echoes box right now. Mm-hmm. It's in between my Fire Emblem Echoes and my my NES mini box. Just like.
Oh yeah, there it is. I did not get the. I'm surprised you got the Fire Emblem Echoes limited edition.
Well, it was, you know, 20% off.
Yeah, I just got the radio. You moved your Sega and Nintendo. I don't think I knew that.
Well, they're just up there for right now. I kind of want to get some like square blocks to see if I can pile this higher.
Hmm.
Make additional. If I need to find like black ones, they have to be like preferably like the same size as this.
Hmm. Let me see if I can make this work. I can't move my webcam too much. Hold on. I'm going to turn my monitor more so I can see it. I don't know how well you can hear me from here, but I put... I can't move this much, but I put my Dragon Strap up. That's like a Club Nintendo Pikmin poster frame. I've got The Last Story and Dragon Strap sitting on top. And underneath it is several other sort of limited edition style boxes, but I can't raise my webcam is at the end of its rope right there. Can't show much. Whoa! Now I is not a. It's not angled correctly.
What are we streaming next week? I don't know. My brother is going to be visiting. So probably something two-player couch co-op with him and try on Skype.
Yeah, that'll be sure. Neat.
Last year we played Dead Storm Pirates.
Yeah, that was fun to watch.
Yeah, I'll have to see if I can find another. Are we going to play or purchase Sonic Mania? I want it so bad, but I've been kind of holding out. Hopefully that a physical edition would get announced. I mean, I've come very, very close to buying it at least twice so far. I just didn't want to get something like that before I finish this upcoming episode.
You know me. I'm not a big Sonic fan.
You don't care.
But I'll admit, like, you know, seeing people just gushing about how like perfectly they nailed it, like, you know, kind of has me like kind of feeling like a little left out on the hype, I guess. You know what I mean?
I think it'd be worth it because Digital Foundry said it has a 4K integer scale.
That's true. It could be a good could be a good example of for the 4K TV episode. Who knows? I have this feeling that I'm not going to be able to run away from that game completely. Like I want to, but.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've got this feeling I'm going to end up with it someday.
Yeah. Hey, do you have this? I'm surprised you don't have this. I don't know if you even know if there's a physical edition for this. Do you know there's a physical Child of Light on the Vita?
I did know that, and I forgot that game even existed. I was going to order that. It was a European import, right?
No, it's US.
Oh, okay. It was I definitely thought about getting that, but I never did. I don't know if it's still available. I kind of forgot about that game altogether. That's the one that has like a Grandia style battle system, right?
Yes. I mean, I think it's something you might want to consider getting.
Yeah, I don't know how expensive it is.
GameStop is where I got mine. It's just like in the used video games.
You know, that kind of reminds me. I just ordered. You know, I thought this was like getting kind of difficult to get, but I found it. I mean, I paid like $20-some for a new copy on Amazon Japan. The physical PSP Final Fantasy III, which I think is just a neat thing to have.
What was it?
The Japanese physical Final Fantasy III for PSP. Yeah.
This.
Yeah, I just ordered it like the other day.
It's in English.
Oh, you can play it in English.
It just defaults to English if you have a... Dave told me about that.
That's right. I forgot you could actually play it in English. I just kind of want to have it. So it's kind of like an I Am Setsuna situation.
Yes.
Okay, I forgot about the English thing. I was just like, I want to have that. Because, like, you know, I feel like it kind of gets some crap. Like that version of Final Fantasy III. To be honest, I think people kind of just get Final Fantasy III crap in general. Like, I don't know if it really has anything to do with that version of Final Fantasy III. But I really liked it. I played the DS version, but I mean, it's an upgraded version of the DS.
Someone's asking about Gear Solar. I have the reprint edition. But I also have, like, the Sega CD, the reprint of the soundtrack, and the Mega CD soundtrack. I have the Dreamcast version.
You know, something about the Final Fantasy III remake, I think maybe some people don't like the art style. I've got this really soft spot for, like, this style of RPG character that you see sometimes, especially in like more in like 3D RPGs, but I guess it's kind of like an interpretation of maybe like sprite style RPG characters. But I like that Final Fantasy III, the 3D Final Fantasy III, like that style of character. Like I Am Setsuna's characters are kind of a little bit similar. Bravely Default's are similar. Like that style of like. They're kind of a little bit deformed, but they aren't like super, super, super deformed. But they're just kind of like this like 8-bit, 16-bit proportions 3D model character. And they have like these single color eyes. Like, I don't know why. I just like really like that style of character for some reason.
See if there's anybody else have some other questions. We've been doing a lot of chat answering, I think, tonight.
Well, probably because you're the one reading the chat.
Yeah.
I have a harder time reading all of the chat comments than you do, because like I just like once I start like getting into a conversation, then I just like am blinded.
I do have Sonic Jam. See, I see the Thomas Matthew Berman.
Is that the Saturn compilation?
Yes.
It's considered good, right?
What's that?
It's considered pretty good, right?
Yeah, I think the Sonic team did it themselves. So it's nice. It's pretty good. And it's like, you know, 240p. It's like correct resolution. And, you know, it's probably better than the Sonic Mega Collection. By like other people. It is hard to play and stream at the same time. That's why it's always good for us to have at least two people.
Yeah.
All right. Is that going to do it? Even though we did start a little bit late, I don't know if we want to go a few more minutes longer.
It's true we started late, but I mean, I beat the game.
Show off like a. Did you?
You completely
show
cut out there. I didn't hear. You. Huh?
Did you show the stuff? Did you show the rest of the stuff that you got at the convention?
I can. Hold on a second.
Okay. Metal Slug might be an option. I think it might be too hard for me. It would be cool. But he says just pick something that's really easy. So we'll try to pick something that's easy. We basically just pick what we're going to do for the stream. It might be fun to, like, do a vote sometime. maybe we could link both of our backloggery accounts and people could pick what they wanted to stream, wanted us to stream. That might be a popular approach.
Okay, so...
Nobody wants to watch having
games. Say what?
I said nobody wants to watch me playing to play driving games.
except Driver, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So Corey actually found this. It's the Rescue Rangers issue of Nintendo Power, which I used to have this. I think I talk about it a little bit in one of our early episodes about like games we got for Christmas, like you know, at some point in our lives. That was
the second second month, well, third month of the channel.
Yeah, and you've said that in some ways that episode like kind of established some of our style.
Well, specifically yours, I think.
Like the type of B-roll that I used.
Yes.
But yeah, like I show a scan of this, but I didn't have it, and it's just a neat thing to have. My dad, like, you know, if anyone knows. Rescue Rangers on NES. The bosses in the boss rooms, there's the red ball that you pick up and you have to throw it at the boss. Well, the first boss, like, I saw the red ball, but I thought it was like part of the boss. I didn't know that I could like pick it up and throw it at him. And I just could not figure out how to get past the first boss. And I think we were at a KB Toys in the mall, and my dad bought me this Nintendo Power, so I could figure out how to play the game. And it went on to become the first game I ever beat. So it's just a neat thing to have this magazine.
Would you say you've beaten that game more than any other game at this point?
Oh no!
Or you think
no.
You beat?
Huh? I've probably.
You think you've beaten Mario more?
Like Mario 1? I'll just pop in Mario 1 on a whim. You know, Mario 64 I've beaten a bunch of times too. I mean, it's really hard to say because, like years and years ago, I used to think, like, I only really counted, like, how many times I played through an RPG because that was, like, a commitment.
Right.
And I was like, I feel like I probably played through Mario RPG like more than 10 times. Like, like I played that a lot of times. And Ocarina of Time, too. I played that a lot of times. But, like, I'm sure, like, some, like, just action games, like, I've beaten more times than that. Like, Rescue Rangers, like, I mean, it's not something I, like, just pop in to play as much as I would, say, like, Mario 1.
Right.
But I got Code Veronica Dreamcast, which, you know, really just to have, but something that I like, and I think, unless I'm forgetting something, I think this is the last Resident Evil I needed for Dreamcast. I don't know if there's, I don't think there's any others outside of 2, 3, and Code Veronica. I don't think so. I've really looked it up, but. Like, I just kind of like having them on Dreamcast because of VGA. It's just a neat thing, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, even though this is technically the inferior version, but it's just a cool thing to have. Skies of Arcadia, which I feel like Corey is the only person that says that this is the better version, but he...
The music is not compressed compared to the GameCube version.
Yeah.
If you do a test sometime, you will know.
I will. I mean, it's just a great looking package inside here. I like the artwork under the disc.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is like super good condition. It was only $60. I just couldn't say no to that.
That's the first thing that either of us bought.
Yeah, I mean, I just, like, I popped this in just to, you know, test it out, and it's, like, I wanted to just play it right, you know, just wanted to keep playing. It's just, this is like a masterpiece. Like, I think this is my favorite Sega game.
it's definitely in the, like, top five for me.
Didn't you used to say that, like, Phantasy Star was, like, your favorite game, and then, like, when you played Sky Park?
I would say that it's, like, interchangeable between, like, Skies of Arcadia, Phantasy Star 1, and Lunar the Silver Star on the Sega CD. Mm. Like, I go in between those, but, you know, as time goes on, like, I think that it's silly, like, kind of having three RPGs being your favorite games of all time.
Yeah, it's...
So, I think that they're pretty interchangeable.
Well, it's kind of like with me, where, like, I say Mario 3 is my favorite game, but, like, I'm not, like, super, like, serious and committed to that choice. Like, at this point in my life, I'm just kind of like, man, I like games. I like a lot of games. Yeah. I'm happy to have this. This is a really cool thing to have, and I would like to play through this version someday. The main thing that people rag on this one for is it has a really high random encounter rate. And I personally don't mind. I'm not that picky about random encounters, so I don't think I'll mind that much. So I'm interested to play it in 480p and better audio compression. I got Golvellius for the Master System. Got for $20, no manual, but that's a great deal anyway. I was looking up online something about Master System box art not long ago. And I don't remember how I ended up, why I was doing that, but, like, I was looking at this page to have a bunch of Master System box art, and I'm like, oh, wow, Golvellius actually has, like, some really cool-looking box art. And I looked up the game, and I'm sure I'd, like, looked at it before, but I just kind of forgot. And I'm like, oh, that's, like, kind of Zelda-like, but it's got, like, these different sort of dungeon things, and... I was like, that looks cool. Like, I'm always on the lookout for.
Huh? That's the Japanese one.
Yeah. I mean, both of them have pretty interesting box art. Like, I think that the Japanese Master System games just have, like, really cool artwork in general.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think this looks like a very interesting game. Like, I'm always on the lookout for Masters, because I don't have a lot of Master System games, and I don't have a lot, like, on my list. Like, I'm always... Like, I just want more Master System games, but I honestly don't know that many games on the system that I do want. I kind of want Psycho Fox, but I'm also, like, scared that Psycho Fox would be, like, a mistake.
You should try it. Try it on the Everjack.
I have tried it. Like, I think it's really interesting. And I got Resident Evil Deadly Silence. I think you'll have a hard time seeing it from here, but, like, the box art's pretty awesome. Like, Jill is, like, dual wielding on it. Like, you can't do that in the game, or at least you can't in any version I've played, but it's pretty awesome. And there's, like, in the manual... There's, like, different artwork of Chris and Jill that I've not seen in any other version.
Is it new artwork?
Yeah, it definitely is, or as far as I know, because I've got the Japanese versions of...
But it's kind of done in style, looks like.
Done in what?
Like in the old style, or not really?
Not really. Like I've got the Japanese versions of the PlayStation games, and it's got like a lot of artwork of like all like the supporting cast. This one has like character models of the supporting cast. And Joseph is like his FMV face, and Brad is a picture of the helicopter. I don't know if you can really see, but Brad's just a picture of the helicopter. Yeah, the PS1 manual, and I think the Japanese Saturn one too, have like has some neat like hand drawn artwork. Yeah, that's what I bought. I also bought a couple of manuals, just because I had like $7 left, and I saw this pile of manuals, and I just thought, oh, let me get some. Because for me, it's not really about completing a game necessarily. I bought one NES manual and two Super Nintendo manuals. Like it's more to me like research materials and just material that could be useful to show in an episode sometime. You know. I like actually showing, like, we were kind of talking about this while we were in Missouri. Like, I like using the camera to show, like, a magazine or a manual or something like that rather than a scan, because I feel like it feels more like looking at this real thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like, it just kind of draws into the experience a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so. But, yeah. So, yeah, Missouri Game Con. Good stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing where they end up next year.
Yeah.
I'd love to go back if I could.
Yep, for sure. It was a great time, and anybody here is from there, thank you for inviting us.
Yeah.
Great time.
All right. Well,
is that do it.
Yeah, so look for a game focused episode from Corey in the next week-ish or so. And yeah. PS2 episode, hopefully I'll be able to get into that. I couldn't really do much about it this week because of work, but I need to do some more testing and writing and research and whatnot, and I might be a little bit behind on from where I'd hoped to be, but hopefully I can. I think it's still on track for September, I think.
Yeah, you seem to be feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, I'm not super. Once it goes into production, I don't think it's going to be crazy hard or anything. So, all right. Well, thanks for watching, and good night, everyone.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.